Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name's Chris, and tonight we're talking about the 2002 action horror comedy movie, Matthew Blackheart, The Monster Smasher.
Monster Smasher!
Who the hell is this guy?
I'm Matthew Blackheart. Not bad at all.
Yeah, that was good, Aaron. Thank you. You're like that guy on...
happy to contribute.
You're like the guy from Spaceballs and Police Academy.
Michael Winslow.
What is his
We've
name?
We've lost the bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps.
Yeah.
Michael Winslow.
That's not all he's lost.
He probably goes to Comic Cons and stuff still, probably, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just does the noises.
Do the thing.
But he could just be completely replaced by a keyboard synthesizer nowadays. But back then, before those things existed, that's all you had.
I mean, I think there's still something to say for being able to make those noises with your mouth, but okay.
Just say it with confidence. Everyone will
exactly. We go right through all the facts. That's how you do it. Tonight, I'm joined by Aaron.
Hey, what's going on?
Todd.
Hey.
Scott.
Hey.
And Rebecca, who's it's birthday. Her birthday, it's birthday.
Wow. It's birthday.
Did you rehearse that one ahead of time? Because you nailed it.
I nailed the landing there.
Happy birth.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
So we watched Matthew Blackheart, Monster Smasher, which I don't even know how we found this movie, but I'm kind of happy we did. It's written by Robert Engels, who did a bunch of episodes of Twin Peaks, and then the director is Eric Kanuel, some Canadian guy. I didn't recognize any of his movies or anything like this, but Todd, what's Matthew Blackheart, Monster Smasher about?
Disclaimer.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I did
fall asleep.
I may have fallen asleep towards the end.
Narcolepsy's creeping back up on you, son.
And he may have taken me out with him.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Creeping. It's creeping. Narcolepsy's creeping back up. Near as I can tell, Matthew Blackheart Monster Smasher is about the Captain America-style soldier.
Yeah.
Who is... He's from World War II, but he returns modern day. I think he was frozen. Somehow he was in stasis since World War II.
Oh, boy.
And that's as far as we got.
That and is he like returns. 2 minutes into the movie.
That's when you fell asleep?
No. I just missed how he got
that's fair.
The present day. But then he's in present day, and he's smashing all the monsters in New York City, because they're like the upper echelon that are running the city now, it seemed. So he's just going around smashing them all.
That's fair. That is what the story is. And we can get to some of those details that you fell asleep for. What year is this?
From 2002. 2002,
okay. Which it looked really much older than that, but I guess that is...
Because the present day in the movie is 99, I thought.
It did feel more like a mid-90s.
This was actually supposed to be a TV show.
But
they didn't get funding, so they just kind of turned it into a movie.
Mm. Yeah, you know, the whole thing felt like a TV pilot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Just a really long...
It may have fit better as a TV pilot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, 2002, we probably haven't actually covered on the History Hole, have we, Aaron?
We have not covered 2002.
What? So let's dive into Aaron's History Hole and get a little context for the movie and the year it was released.
It's time for the History Hole. Assume the position and prepare to be filled with knowledge.
Cool. All right, then. So 2002 in film. Highest grossing films from 2002 were The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Oh my God, that came out the same year as this shit?
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That made almost $1 billion.
Well deserved, though. Well deserved.
Great movie.
This one made almost 12.
Dollars?
$12?
But it's a Canadian production, so that's like...
That's 18 like 15 bucks.
US
that's
dollars.
Like $15 US, yeah. Shit.
Oh man. So number two is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, such a good movie.
You're a wizard, Harry.
This is how talking about his Chamber of Secrets.
This is how this needs to go. Every time Chris makes a comment, Aaron stops. It just needs to be call and response because he's going to say something on every single one.
No, I won't. I'll just stop. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Spider-Man, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of Who Gives a Shit.
Oh, that movie was so terrible.
Man, it was terrible. Men in Black 2, Die Another Day, Signs, Ice Age, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and Minority Report.
Some good movies in there.
There are some solid movies in there.
I always forget about Minority Report. I really like that movie, but it's not one you see around often. You don't see it on TBS replays or anything.
Yeah, I don't.
That's
based
on a Philip K. Dick story, right?
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's a Steven Spielberg movie.
Is it Spielberg? I believe so. Yeah. I pretty much just repress all Tom Cruise movies. I tend to enjoy them, but then I'm like, I don't want to remember this.
Do you know what Tom Cruise is really good in? Tropic Thunder.
He is great in that movie.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
That is a crazy movie. I'm the dude playing the dude dressed up as the other dude. All right, so 60th Golden Globe Awards for Best Film was the drama The Hours. Musical or comedy went to Chicago. Best director was Martin Scorsese for Gangs of New York. Best actor was Jack Nicholson for About Schmidt. Richard Gere for Chicago. Best actress was Nicole Kidman for The Hours. And best actress was also Renee Zellweger for Chicago. Best supporting actor was Chris Cooper for Adaptation. And best supporting actress was Meryl Streep for Adaptation. So this movie features a muted bunch of mutants and a soldier.
I believe they're called bogeys.
Boogies.
Boogies.
Boogies, boogies. So anyways, this section is called Mutants, Muscles, and Modifications, films featuring enhanced humans. Starting way back in 1964, we have an episode from The Outer Limits called Soldier. I vaguely remember this one, but it's basically about a soldier from the far future who's accidentally teleported back to 1964. A psychiatrist is assigned to examine him, and blah, 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 hijinks ensue. It's actually a pretty cool episode. Of course, we can't talk about modifications in humans without the classic RoboCop from 1987.
Nice.
Yeah. In a dystopic and crime-ridden Detroit, which isn't really modern day, a terminally wounded cop returns to force as a powerful cyborg haunted by his submerged memories.
I just watched RoboCop like a month ago. Movie is still so fucking awesome.
Oh, it's so great. When the guy gets in crashes into the vat. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It just becomes a mutant boat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. From 1992, we have Universal Soldier. Private Luke Devereaux and his sadistic Sergeant Andrew Scott got killed in Vietnam. The Army uses their bodies for a secret project, reanimating dead soldiers as deadly obedient cyborgs.
Universal Soldier was from 2002?
1992.
Oh, 92. I was like, Jesus
Christ.
Okay.
That was the first one. There's a bunch of sequels that I've never seen, but yeah. 1992. So from 1998, we have the movie Soldier. A soldier trained from birth is deemed obsolete and dumped on a waste planet where he's reluctantly taken in by a community of defenseless, stranded wayfarers. This movie featuring Kurt Russell is about basically him being obsolete because of genetically modified soldiers.
Mm.
And then he kicks their asses. From 2008, we have this movie I've never heard of. I don't know how, given the stars, but The Mutant Chronicles.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Jane.
Yes, and Ron Perlman. Never saw it. At the end of the Ice Age, the machine came from outer space with the purpose to change men into mutants. However, a hero defeated the device and a great seal was laid over the machine. It sounds like complete cheese, but it sounds pretty fun.
It's based on like some comic or something.
Okay.
Like, Todd might be aware of it.
Yeah.
I am not aware of it, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It looks pretty cool, too. Maybe we should check that out.
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
From 2011, we have Vinegar Heart. Returning from war, Lieutenant John Stokes takes over the family farm in rural Idaho. While attempting to restore his sanity and his family name, he accidentally creates a new kind of fertilizer, but he didn't realize it that his pickles weren't the only mutation on the menu.
Mm. I love pickles.
Chris is all about them mutant pickles.
I know. I'm really upset because I ate my last pickle last night, and I have no pickles.
You can buy more.
I know, but then I'd have to go somewhere, and I'm not about that.
All right, so trying to wrap this up. For 2015, we have Hardcore Henry. Henry is resurrected from death with no memory. And he must save his wife from a telekinetic warlord with a plan to bioengineer soldiers. Crazy movie. All shot from first-person perspective. Just ridiculous.
So it's hardcore.
Yeah. From earlier this year, we have Upgrade. Set in the near future, technology controls nearly all aspects of life. But when Gray, a self-identified technophobe, has his world turned upside down, his only hope for revenge is an experimental computer chip implant called STEM. It's a pretty cool movie. I recommend checking it out.
I know it's got that guy from Prometheus, but I never saw it.
It's pretty interesting. Pretty entertaining. And we have a new one coming out soon. I believe it's out now or coming out soon. Overlord?
Oh, yeah.
Which looks pretty sweet.
We were going to go see that, but then we couldn't.
With D-Day approaching, Boyce and his crew begin to realize there is more going on in this Nazi-occupied village than a simple military operation. Having to fight against supernatural forces not only to destroy the radio tower, but destroy their own experiment, before Hitler gets his Third Reich of 1,000 years, he promised. So, which movie was the fake one, guys?
Ooh.
Fuck, I wasn't paying enough attention, but the first one.
I think
the Outer Limits episode from 1964.
I don't know. You talked a lot. I missed everything. Go back through it all again.
No guesses?
Not Mutant Chronicles. Not Minority Report is fake.
The only thing fake about that movie is Tom Cruise's height.
That's true.
His lifts in his shoes. It was Vinegar Heart from 2011. Totally made that shit up. Makes no sense about pickle farming. What the fuck, guys?
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
I got so caught up on...
On Chris's pickle obsession. It became too relatable.
Like, pickles really are one of nature's...
All right, so to wrap up our history hole, this was a film from 2002 that was kind of an action, horror, comedy movie. So some other similar movies are Eight-Legged Freaks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a fun movie. Bloody Mallory, Trance, One Hell of a Christmas, Bubba Hotep, Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat, Slash, Killer Barbies vs. Dracula, The Greenskeeper, Reflections of Evil, and The Fall of Louis of Usher, a gothic tale for the 21st century.
We watched The Greenskeeper in high school. I think it's got John Rocker in it.
Does it?
I remember The Greenskeeper.
I want to say...
Anyway. Would you watch? What class would you watch that in?
Oh, no, I meant like when we were in high school.
The
Batcave, Chris's basement?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, 2002 horror film starring Major League Baseball relief pitcher John Rocker. Yes, I still remember that.
That's crazy.
Doesn't somebody get killed and then their blood squirts out of the sprinkler system? Like,
yeah,
it ticks around?
Right,
and...
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we need to watch The Greenskeeper, guys.
Let's watch it. Put it on a list.
Baseball season.
Get it
cool,
on the list.
Aaron, thank
That's
you
it.
For that history hole. That was a good history hole.
Okay. Happy to give you that hole.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. Do you have a recommendation? A question? Do you want to talk about bad movies? Then join us over at our subreddit. Just search for Bad Movie Night on Reddit and join our community. Now, back to the show.
Monster Smasher, John Blackheart. That's not right. Matthew Blackheart. Scott, what'd you think?
I thought this movie was a lot of fun. And to steal a line from the movie, it was the kind of movie that would make a minister kick out a stained glass window.
Well, I wrote that one down.
I wrote that one down too.
I wrote down.
If you
all
guys,
of them.
If you guys started writing down one-liners, you run out of paper.
I couldn't keep up. But no, it was such a fun movie. It didn't take itself seriously at all.
No. So, Todd, you fell asleep, but what were you thinking? Were you enjoying it, or are you just...
So,
what happened?
Yeah, take that fell asleep with a grain of salt. I was partly just really tired, but in general, I had fun. I can't disagree with what Scott said. It was a lot of fun and did not take itself seriously. I loved the costumes and the creatures and the effects. The only part of it I did not like was the way it told its story. Some of the time, and we'll talk about it more later, but I mean, some of the time there were scenes. There were just like regular movie scenes with two characters talking to each other. But some of the time it was told like a comic book, which I know makes sense in context, mm-hmm. given the beginning of the movie. But like, it didn't do as good of a job of it as like a Sin City or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy the delivery, but when it like got into the action parts, it was fun.
I agree. It wasn't consistent in a way that it told its story. So sometimes when they'd bring in those graphic comic book elements, graphic novel, whatever you want to call it, it felt out of place. Because it wasn't like it that randomly occurred like halfway into the movie where you would see like these comic book bubbles come up and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. Somebody with more film experience would probably know what it's called. I don't really know what it's called, but I guess it's like the third person narration or first person narration. I don't know. He's telling his own story, like he's reading the book about himself, which again, yeah. I know he is. I know it makes sense because I know he is literally reading a book about himself, but it's that delivery that doesn't quite do it for me. When they forget about that and they fall into the scene and they actually start talking character to character and then there's fights and battles and whatever, that stuff's awesome. But I didn't like the delivery of the... Like, when you step back out, I didn't like that part of the movie.
I thought you were more referencing, like, the comic book, like, yeah, the bam! And the
graphics.
That part didn't necessarily bother me. That part was all right.
Rebecca, what'd you think?
So I liked it at first. Like, I thought it was funny. I thought it was ridiculous. But it just got to be too much, I think. Like, all the one-liners, like it was hard to follow the story because he just talked in cliches constantly.
Are you reading my Tinder reviews?
His one long idiom the whole movie.
So like at first it was like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, all right, yeah, I got it. All right, now I'm asleep. So it just kind of lost me after a while.
That was my favorite part.
Because you're an idiom.
I think maybe there wasn't much of a story though to this, and that all that kind of stuff covered it up.
Yeah. Like, what can we put in here because we don't have enough plot?
Well, how much plot did you expect?
Well, I don't know. With the amount of
monster smasher,
there's a lot of world building though.
There's a lot of background given, but then it doesn't. There's no foreground.
Yeah. Aaron, what'd you think?
Yeah, I found it really entertaining. I'd hoped for a little bit more depth too, with some of the like, not the political aspects, but more of like the world's being overrun in a kind of hidden way. It's almost like They Live, but without the thought. I think the creature effects were fun. He was hilarious in the role. Spoke only in one-liners, basically, it got a little annoying after a while. But overall, I found it really to be fun. I think it could have actually made a decent TV show.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the show with Bruce Campbell, the Briscoe County Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has the same feel.
Mm-hmm.
But well, like a sci-fi instead of a Western.
Well, I mean, this movie, or this, I guess it's a movie... TV pilot, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're definitely going for that Evil Dead kind of thing. They even bring up S-Mart. They mention S-Mart, which is straight from Evil Dead, or Army of Darkness, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like a weird mix of Captain America, Evil Dead, Constantine, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But with a more heavily leans on that comedy side, I would say. But it's pretty fun. It's a pretty fun movie. And it went by quick, but it's just kind of like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
I don't know exactly what it is either.
I don't know what it was, but it did not go by quick for me.
Really?
Yeah, there's something wrong with what we use to watch movies, that like halfway through the movie every time it'll just crash and I'll have to restart it. But when I did that, like when it crashed, it's like, oh shit, we're only at the crash point now. Like I thought it got past it. I was like, I thought we were almost at the end of the movie, and then it crashed and I'm only halfway through.
Yeah, I'll agree. It did drag in the middle.
The second act slows way down. For the movie called Monster Smasher, there's not nearly enough monster smashing for my like.
It's a lot.
Smashing is happening. Yeah, like where it's, you're just screen. Getting the ooze on the window and not.
Yeah. Although if it was supposed to be a TV show, that might explain it.
Yeah.
Although, comparatively to like a lot of the movies we've watched in the past, like these sword and sorcery movies that don't have anything to show, it's all tell. This movie definitely feels like it has a bigger budget than that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's no sword and sorcery movie, but I mean, I guess I'll watch it.
No, you know what I mean? Like they have the monster, they have like full monster body, like suits and stuff like that, that look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part of this movie for me, hands down.
But I don't think it's to a level where a normal person who's used to watching real movies would think this movie looks good in any way.
No.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a low budget, straight to video.
And even for 2002, because there were a couple parts that had, I don't know, I'm going to say CGI and use the term loosely. Mm. There were a couple parts that had CGI, and even for 2002, that looked pretty terrible, right? Like the tongues coming out of those lady monsters.
Mm. I was into it.
That was pretty bad still for 2002, though, right?
What did he call that?
I don't know. 2002 is a long time ago. Like,
yeah, but The Matrix came out before that.
Yeah, but that was all practical effects.
Yeah, but that's got a huge budget. That has
no, no. I know. I'm just using it as a bar to say what can be done.
Oh,
that,
sure.
That tongue thing was like, I don't know how they did it, but it just looked. It looked like it was from the mid 70s, like Star Wars or some shit.
It seemed pretty much like a Resident Evil kind of cheapness, but you know, not. It was serviceable.
I'd put it at 90s standard effects level.
Are you telling me it didn't scare the HE double toothpicks out of you?
It did not scare the HE double toothpicks out of me, no.
You did mention earlier, Todd, that you were confused about how he traveled from World War II to nowadays.
I don't think I was confused how he traveled. I just don't know if I know what matter of stasis he was in.
I don't know how he got there. Yeah.
He got frozen in Patagonia.
He was frozen, but...
Okay. So it was just frozen.
Then he thawed out, yeah.
Yeah, they don't really... They pass over. They do show you him like going into the cryo chamber after he raids Dr. Mortis's lair and he freezes himself. They never bother to show you how he unfreezes himself, so...
That's not important.
Well,
quick time out. We didn't talk about any characters yet, so just for the sake of what you just said, Dr. Mortis is the antagonist, and the titular character is the protagonist.
Yes, Dr. Mortis is supplying these zombie creatures to Hitler.
That's
the premise.
Some sort of mucus, an ooze? What was it called?
He had a name for it, yeah. What was that?
Plasma?
Yeah.
Which is blood, right?
Well,
the thing
it's
in
part of blood. Yeah.
It's a state.
You're a state. I've never been to plasma. Maybe I'll vacation there next year. Thank you.
Not that kind of.
That's not kind of state. Yeah, Dr. Mortis is played by Christopher Heyerdahl. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's in a lot of TV shows. Like he's in that Damnation show in USA and the Van Helsing show and stuff like that. So you'd probably recognize him. And Matthew Blackheart, our titular character, is played by Robert T. Bogue, who's also been in a ton of stuff, but most recently, like, big show was Oz, I guess. But what do you guys think of Matthew Blackheart, the character, actor? Do you like him?
I kept wishing he was Bruce Campbell instead.
Yeah, well...
But he did a good job,
He reminded me of that one doctor in Scrubs, but, like, with spiky hair.
Oh.
Or no, am I thinking of Scrubs?
I thought you didn't want no Scrubs.
Oh my gosh. Is it Scrubs now? It's going to drive me nuts. What's the one with the two dudes that are best friends? And
ER.
That's Scrubs.
That's Scrubs. And then what's the doctor that always makes fun of
ER.
Him?
Oh, the older one. Doctor, it's not, is that Kelso? Dr. Kelso?
That's he reminded that 70s me of that, show.
He reminded me of that guy, but with spiky hair.
That cleared it all up. Thank you.
Wait, are we talking about John C. McGinley? Is that who we're talking
Let
about
Let me look
here?
It
what
up quick.
Talking about,
no,
talking about John
sake.
Cena, Aaron.
I'm talking about, yes, I am actually talking about John C. McGinley. Okay. Whoever said that, good job.
Okay.
Yeah, it reminded me of him, but with spiky hair. I really don't think that's that far off.
I do agree. He does kind of remind you of that. This movie does, I think we even referenced, said something like this when we were watching the trailer, but it does feel, in a way, like a big bad Beetleborgs Power Rangers kind of thing where they
I said that.
You said
Power Rangers before Power I fell Rangers. Asleep. I totally said Power Rangers.
I think it's because they like don't try to make the monsters seem cool or scary in any way. They're just kind of out there. Do you know what I mean? Their flaws are all visible for everybody. You can tell it's a rubber mask, but they don't care. And everybody just buys into it in this movie. And they don't like bother to really explain anything. It's just like, it's the kind of shit you get from a kid's TV show where logic isn't really that important.
Yeah, I thought it works perfectly.
It's not aimed at kids, but that's just kind of how it feels. Yeah, no, I kind of agree. I think it did work. You know? Guy's got two eyes, like piss holes in the snow.
The scene that perfectly sums that up is when they're having like the mafia meeting. It's being led by our small mutant. And then we have this assortment of other mutants sitting around the table, all That's with cool. different issues and different voices. And it's really entertaining, but it's like what you're talking about, where it really there's like no logic there. It's just awful acting, awful everything, but still somehow is fun.
He left his fear pills in his other pants.
Oh man, Spiff's just gonna speak the entire podcast out of one-liners from this movie.
I don't think they were trying to say anything topical or really this movie had any themes, but they do go out of the way of making
this is a serious
all the
political
monsters
statement, Chris.
Well, I mean, all the monsters are like society elites, the rich people.
Yeah,
so there is some sort of message you could take away from that. I don't know what it would be, except for that rich people are really monsters on the inside. Ooh, they look like us.
Deep.
You know what I'm saying?
You know why he calls them bogeys, right?
Why?
Because they're bogus.
Damn, Spiv.
Mind blown.
You keep your tentacle ectomorphic hands off of labia liberty. Oh my god.
Labia liberty? Is that your porn name?
Hey, excuse me. This is a family friendly show here, Aaron.
Oh man.
I'm not the one that said labia liberty. I just repeated you. What the hell is going on here, Chris?
Just a haystack full of needles.
Oh my god.
I'm almost out of my quotes. I can't keep this going.
There's no way you're almost out of quotes.
I should have wrote more down. I gotta go on IMDb real quick and look them up.
If you try and print it out, it's like 782 pages of one-liners. It's insane.
It's really there's some of them are really good though.
Yeah,
like
there's
we
some
wait
solid ones.
We like wait like a whole movie to get one that's good, and this movie's just throwing them all out there. And there's like 9 out of 10s. Like you're just throwing these out here.
It's a bit of a shotgun approach, though. They're not all.
Yeah.
They're not all zingers.
No, you're right. Did you guys like the concept?
Let me ask this instead. On the concept, do you think it needed to be told through the comic book window that it was told? When this movie opens up, Matthew Blackheart meets a kid in a comic store that's selling a book that's about Matthew Blackheart.
Did you notice,
and
he's walking through New York City with a sword on his back and a pistol on his hip. And no one says anything. Yeah. He walks right into the bookstore.
Have you not been to New York?
Well, 2002 was a different time.
It was after 9/11.
If they're not concealed in your...
Have you not been on the subway in the past 10 years? Because...
I was going to say, do you think there's a way to tell the story without telling it through that lens? Like, we could have just had the story rather than have him pick up the book and have to read the book about himself to tell the story.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe it was based on a graphic novel and that would be why that they're kind of playing homage to that, but it's not. So I am also a little confused why they chose to go that route. That kid is the most famous person in this movie. It's Jay Baruchel. Hey, how the fuck do you say this guy's name? Jay Baruchel?
Baruchel, yeah, I think that's right.
Baruchel? Baruchel? That sounds right.
Baruchel?
Yeah. Baruchel.
I remembered the movie I was trying to think of when we were watching, by the way. It's This Is the End. He's in that movie.
Yeah. He's very young in this movie.
Yeah, because how old is he? He was born in 82.
I see.
So he would have been 20? Wow, he looks a lot younger than 20. He looks like he's about 14.
Yeah, he always plays like the young.
Yeah, he does.
He's Canadian, that's why.
They filmed it in Montreal.
Those damn Canadians.
They got that spring water up there. Keeps you
free healthcare.
Oh, he started on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
He's got so much free healthcare. He doesn't know what to do.
Maple syrup and free healthcare. That's how you stay young.
That's all you need.
No, maple syrup is the healthcare. You either drink it or pour it on the wound.
Came to the United States, started aging like nobody's business.
That's what...
I always thought if they did a biopic on... Beastie Boys, he would be in it.
Biopic,
however you say.
Ah.
Let's talk about this, the evil mad scientist, Dr. Mortis.
I hate his name because I keep thinking of woodworking mortise joints the entire time. I'm like, I don't know why. It's awful.
I kept thinking of the black metal guy who dresses up like a goblin.
He kind of looks like one.
Black metal
even
guy.
Even has Mortis. Mortis with two eyes.
What band?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't sound like a true black metal fan then.
I'm not true.
Do you like him, Todd? Or were you sleeping through all that?
I might have been sleeping through the question that just happened.
I'm just talking about Dr. Mortis. I think he was...
His face looked fucked up like 9 times out of 10 that we saw him. So everybody else that was a monster, they were either a normal person or when they got upset, their monster face showed a little bit. I feel like every time we saw Mortis, he was like a solid halfway between normal person and monster, and he just looked like shit the whole
but
movie.
But he wasn't like a monster, was he? He was more a vampire, right?
Yeah. Maybe that's it, I guess. Yeah, that could
okay,
be
so
it.
That's confusing part of this movie. He's creating all these mutants, but he's actually a vampire? And was he always a vampire?
And there are other vampires too.
I have a theory about that one.
Okay.
I think he was human back in the 1940s.
Okay.
Yeah. I could follow that.
Sometime in the while of our hero is frozen, we reached 1999 or 2002, whatever year it is, and he's been replaced by a monster that he made to be himself.
So he's not himself?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that why his hair got longer?
Did he trade Hitler monsters for the Staff of Kings so that he could become a vampire and live till immortality?
The Spear of Destiny.
That's what I'm talking about. What did I say? The Staff of Kings?
You don't play enough Wolfenstein up in here.
It's all explained in the second episode, but...
No, see, that was one thing I was confused about, is that they do reference like how these monsters have spread since, you know, Jonathan Smasher, whatever, Matthew Blackheart, has been frozen. Monsters have kind of like seeped through into the normal world and are hidden now.
Is that your other porn name, Jonathan Smasher?
But I guess in World War II, when these monsters were being created, they weren't able to act as though they're human or to hide their monster side, and that is a recent development that we learn. And so now they've kind of spread out through society, but are they reproducing naturally, or is there still the ooze being used to create new monsters? Because they don't show you any of that stuff. That would have been like season finale kind of stuff you would get a glimpse at, I think.
But instead we just get none of it.
But if this was intended to be a pilot of a TV show, you would think they'd focus more on his origins.
Not back then, though.
No? You guess it's not important?
I don't think it's like a story arc kind of show.
They just wanted all that action.
Like a Monster of the Week kind of thing?
I mean, if they make it to season two, maybe they'll talk about his backstory.
Right. They just need some monsters for him to smash.
I mean, we do learn a little bit about him. He is basically not a real human. He's created by Dr. Frankenstein.
No, Dr. Franken.
Dr. Franken.
Yeah.
Dean?
Frank
Igor.
Oh, I love that movie.
Well, and he's created under the behest of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Well, obviously, Rebecca, that's just a given.
Oh, yeah. The beginning of this movie was so great.
They invested a lot of time into the beginning of this movie, though. They really did.
I don't think they did.
It was, I mean, not time. I mean, energy into creating these scenes.
They rambled. He just was going off. He's fucking one-liners all about Frankenstein creating him, Roosevelt needing him, Nazis.
Yeah,
it was like
we really didn't need all that.
No.
It could have been mysterious. It could have left it up. Like, that didn't really matter that much in the context of the movie.
I like all that. I just wish they,
I did too.
I wish they went and explored more of that. Because it was like, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. Now we're in New York, and here's Jay Baruchel, and we're walking around. It was kind of like that intro was so interesting with that backstory kind of stuff.
It was very disconnected.
So, yeah. You think it's like, well, we only got so much money. But
we gotta get this moving along.
We got Roosevelt here for 2 minutes.
We only have the wheelchair rented for a couple days.
Oh, jeez,
cigarette holder.
That set, though, Dr. Mortis's original lair back in World War II, that was really cool looking.
In Patagonia.
They bring up Patagonia so much, I had to look it up.
Why Patagonia?
I don't know.
I just don't. Of all the places you could have a secret Hitler lair where you're raising monsters for Hitler, why Patagonia?
Why not, Todd? Why not?
There's like two or three things that Blackheart constantly says. Patagonia. He constantly brings up Patagonia. And he also says brain pan a lot. Which is a word that I don't like that phrase.
I know. That's another thing.
Hit me right in the brain pan.
Is it like a bedpan, but your brain? Is it like
the skull?
It's your skull.
Let your thoughts ooze out into it.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a Canadian production, yet it's so patriotic.
French Canadian.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Are they making fun of us?
Actually, wait, that might be it. Now that Scott just said that, if it's French Canadian, that's what it is. They're just making fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, America, guns and hot dogs and pew, 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 pew.
The beginning when Blackheart is chained up in Mortis's lair, he gets the strength to break out of his chains by going, "God bless America."
That's pretty awesome. Man.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can we talk about the end?
Yeah, we can talk about the end. I mean, there's a few other things we'll touch on here, but the end is important for the patriotic element, I would say, of this movie.
Definitely. It got me back into it after losing interest.
Yeah, I mean, there's some twists and turns along the way. We learn that the mayor of the city? Somebody higher up in the government's kind of colluding with Dr. Mortis to gain power. You know, it all comes to a head at Dr. Mortis's new secret lair thing. And they have a showdown between Matthew Blackheart and Dr. Mortis, who we, in the rest of the movie, didn't really see any of his powers. And so that was kind of cool that we got to see Dr. Mortis's special monster abilities.
I feel like it was a short boss fight, though.
It was very short. I watched it twice to make sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah, I love how it ended, but I feel like it was a short boss fight.
Yeah, it was like a mini boss. It was like, it was the boss you get before you get to the real boss.
But I think that's more of the TV show roots.
TV pilot.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
Then, you kill him, and then it reveals that he's not the actual mastermind. You just get the hands. Yeah.
He's just another mutant.
He was just the doppelganger for the real Mortis.
Yeah, Yeah. So how
we should revive
this. How do they kill him?
With some geometry.
Okay, we'll do this in pieces. So he shouts out, "I know geometry," and then he chucks his sword up in the air. And as the bad guy watches it, it slices an American flagpole in half.
And then we see the piece of flagpole fall down, go right through Mortis with the flag waving proudly above.
As it makes a really loud farting noise.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie. There's another pretty good part in this movie where they do a sweet rendition of If You're Happy and You Know It in the dance club.
That is so painful.
That is weird.
So it was like painful. The S&M dance club.
If you're happy
it was sultry, Aaron.
Know it. Clap your hands.
It was good stuff.
Oh. No, it was painful. It was so long.
Out of place.
And it was a call and response, too. Like, the people... Because yeah, then they got to the shout, hooray, and they all, hooray!
If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray!
Some of that music in this movie was pretty bad. Some of it was super cheesy. It was like, doo-doo-doo-doo, piano stuff, just like,
Well, I mean, somebody sits you down in front of a keyboard and's like, all right, this is a movie about... a guy who smashes monsters. Go.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? You're going to be like,
Not even that.
He's born in the 40s. He's from the 40s?
Not even that. They sat you down and told you it's a TV show about smashing monsters. You're not even going to be movie famous. You're going to be TV pilot famous.
So Roosevelt hires this guy. And then Hitler does this.
No, don't worry. His name's Matthew Blackheart.
No. Are you with us? Jump ahead 60 years into the future. Go. I would have no idea what to do with that. So yeah, right. It was bad, but...
I did laugh pretty good at the one scene where I forget what happens, but he leaves and he's walking down the street dancing and he like goes to swing on the pole and he like falls over.
Falls on his ass. Right on his ass. And then what's it flash across the screen? Something. It was like I'm a little rusty or something like that. Throughout the whole movie, there's various parts where it interjects these comic book drawing scenes, but that was really weird.
We know that Matthew Blackheart is like a scientific creation, but is he supposed to be supernatural too? Because he is able to like block bullets with a sword.
Well, he's the Captain America character.
He's I guess super strong. They do demonstrate that a bit.
Well, they assembled him from pieces of other soldiers.
Yeah. The only other thing that stuck out to me, and this is probably that French Canadian thing as well, is the religious stuff they bring up several times.
Oh yeah, he's reading the Bible. Well, yeah, I think that was more making fun of America.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bible ends up saving him at the end, and then he uses the flag to kill. Yeah. Yeah, we're fucking stupid. I do like that revisionist history.
Did you ever read any Harry Turtledove?
What'd you call me?
Harry,
that's Todd's porn name.
That was one of my fake movie names. Alternate
the second
title.
Day of Christmas.
Harry Turtledove writes revisionist history like that, alternate futures and whatnot. I've only read like half of one of his books, but I bought two of them, planning on reading them. It's like good concepts. I just can't get into his writing style.
Anyways, anything else, guys?
Not for me.
You got any hypothetical questions, Todd?
I do.
All right, let's hear a question here.
I want to know, well, we already touched on this one a little bit, But I want to know what your Monster Hunter name would be.
Oh my God.
Like, if you get to be, I'll give you a choice too. You can either be like this style of Monster Hunter, or you can be like a Geralt of Rivia style Monster Hunter. But in either case, I want to know what your Monster Hunter name would be. That's a tough one, because it has to sound like, has to sound like majestic. Okay.
I got one.
Or pulpy. What's your...
Titus Turd Burglar, Monster Quencher.
Quencher?
I don't know. That's the first thing I wrote down.
What exactly are you quenching?
The monsters.
With
How
what?
Are you quenching them?
Are you mistaken guys? Clenching for quenching?
I would love to hear your fucking fake
I'm going
to
take around Gatorade in a super soaker. They are going to be so quenched.
You've been quenched.
All they needed was a drink.
It's electric. It's got electrolytes. That's what the plants crave.
What about Harry Spankman, Demon Slicer?
Did you just make a generator for this? No. You're over there like writing code or something. This has got to go on the website.
Demon Slicer is great. That's for the cool. Second half. You should. I think you should take that porn name from a while ago and just combine it with that. Jonathan Smasher, Demon Slicer. That's a good one. Good old Johnny Smash. Oh man, the only other hypothetical question I had was, what would your weapon of choice be against monsters? We saw dual 1911s in this one. We saw a samurai sword. We saw a Tommy gun. Would you have a particular
An
weapon?
Well-oiled Tommy gun or something. What did you say? Yeah, double-oiled?
Yeah.
I would want the rocket gun from Runaway.
Oh,
the heat-seeking rocket gun.
Yeah.
I want a boomerang made with Tom Selleck's mustache hair.
I want something that I don't have to get close to them, because the amount of monster ooze he would get all over him was disgusting.
I'd have to bathe, like, constantly.
Yeah.
I feel like if that's your job, you're probably okay with the ooze, right? You get used to it.
Yeah, that's why you were
like
the
there's people that go down in the sewers and clean stuff out and shit. They're probably always covered in ooze and stuff. It's just part of the job. I think I would go with a sword, right? Because that can deal with anything.
Yeah, I mean, if I only had one weapon, if I had to choose one, I'd probably go with like a sword or some kind of
scepter,
the
silver tongue.
It's just a bookmark.
It's a bow staff skills? Yeah, maybe it's bow staff skills.
Magic bookmark.
Magic.
That would actually be my monster name. little Toddy in the magic bookmark.
What the?
Why are you sensing a new young adult series?
This is getting weird. Why was Jay Baruchel also Dr. Franken? And how? That was a twist, and I was so confused. He's like, yeah, I'm Dr. Franken. Nobody asked how you became Dr. Franken.
Well, there's a couple like flashbacks to him saying younger. Stuff, right?
Yeah, he tells him, he's like, you gotta stop smoking, Blackie, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, and it was like, but they don't explain how that happened. I guess it's unimportant. That's the stuff I'm talking about.
But there's hints of that earlier in the movie.
There's hints at him being that character, but there's no hints at explaining how he became that character.
The only hint was, I'm getting younger and younger, and that's it.
Yeah. All right, let's hear some alternate movie titles.
Okay. Todd, you're up.
Back to the Shit Show. Like Back to the Future, but shittier.
Oh, you paused like you had like there was a colon and then it was
No. Frank Miller's Captain America. G.I. Joe and the Franken Goo.
Oh, Franken Goo. I like the goo.
That's
cool.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
And that's all I had.
Aaron?
I have Ash versus the Feeble Dead. Boogie Smasher, Matthew Blackheart rubs one out because he's always talking about he's going to rub them out or something.
Only in dreams, Aaron.
He says it like 10 times. I'm going to rub you out. Like, what the hell? The Downfall of America, or Why You Should Always Take the Full Course of Antibiotics. Because this movie's like, it's like one running sinus infection the whole time.
Running. I see what you did there.
Crapped in America. Give me geometry or give me death. Boogies and broads, mutants and misogyny, and Matthew Blackheart, booty smasher.
Oh, that's good. Anybody else? No? Nobody else has one?
I had one earlier today, but I forgot to write it down, so okay. I forget it.
I'm sure it was great.
It was fantastic.
It was probably the best one. I got a few. These are just, I don't even know where. Matthew Blackfart Monster Kisser.
Always goes there with you.
Big Bad Acting Borgs. Johnson Beefheart Turd Sniffer.
That doesn't even make any sense.
What is his weapon? Johnsonville Brats? Is that what he attacks you with?
This one's hard. Hold on.
Okay.
Matthew Black. Matthew Blackheart. Sonster Masher.
What? You've lost it. What is wrong?
I just moved the letters.
Can I ask you how much you were drinking when you watched this movie?
Nothing. I don't know why it's so funny. And then that's Paul so Blart, stupid. Cookie Picker.
Just move the letters.
You are so dumb. Those are the funniest of all of them, and they don't make any goddamn sense.
It was Matthew Blackheart Sonster Masher. Okay.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
bath sauna. Is that what we're going here?
When you say it that way, it's
the, yeah.
Like three of the four of us are crying right now.
This is stupid. Oh, it's so dumb. All
right, let's play a game.
All right.
Yeah, this guy procreates, folks. Game time, baby.
Your theories are the worst kind of puppies, right? Your methods are sloppy and your conclusions are highly questionable. Shall we play?
This one is about army lingo because he called them bogeys all the time, which is army terminology for enemy. So we're going to dive into some other army lingo.
Damn, I thought this was going to be about boogies and I'd be able to actually win the game here.
Which of these phrases is part of military lingo? Is it A, armored cow? B, duck cavalry, or C, defense donkey?
Duck cavalry.
Armored cow.
Defense donkey.
Duck cavalry.
It is armored cow. It is the term for canned milk.
Why not just say canned milk?
Because they can't just say anything, yeah. What does the military term bag of dicks refer to?
Chris Rubin.
That was my nickname in high school.
Is it A, a group of soldiers on a fruitless mission, B, a problematic situation, or C, a lunch of sausage sandwiches?
Now I'm hungry.
Man, I hope it's C, but I'm gonna go with B.
Yeah, it's not, but I'm gonna go with sausages.
What was A again?
A is a group of soldiers on a fruitless mission.
A.
Just a bag of dicks.
Bag of dicks.
I'm gonna go with B.
It is a problematic situation, but it's not to be confused with another phrase, which is the four dicks of death, which is the meat link served with beans in an MRE.
That's where I went wrong.
Number three, what do you use a cat hole for? Is it A, to store secret contraband, B, to poop in, or C, to put a landmine in?
D, all of the above.
Yeah,
I feel like I feel like they would call it a cat hole if you poop in it. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, I'm torn between that and the landmine or the bomb hole or whatever you said it was.
Bomb hole.
I guess that's what they would just call that. Then I'm going with the one you take a dump in.
Matthew Dick Bag Bomb Hole Smasher.
Put the dick bag in the bomb hole.
Getting kinky in here. Wait, Chris, did you go?
Yeah, I think
bomb
so.
Hole.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with A.
The landmine.
It is a hole to take a poop in.
Damn. Is that what
always
I said?
About to poop.
I don't remember what I said.
Yep, it is.
Oh yeah.
How many different definitions are there for donkey dick? Is it A?
I think we've reached a low bar on this show.
There's a lot of dick talk on this.
Yeah. Is it A, 5? B, 15, or C, 25?
What the hell was the question again?
How many different definitions are there for donkey dick?
See, this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that there's something abbreviated DD, which is Delta Delta. But, you know, if you're in the military, you're just going to go around calling it donkey dick. So people know what you mean. There's probably 25 definitions of donkey dick. I'm going to go with 25.
I'm going with 15.
15.
25. There are only 5.
What? That's disappointing. Come on, military.
But like they range definitely from part of an antenna to a tool used to remove air bubbles from concrete.
How do you know which one they're asking for? Hand me that donkey
dick.
I guess it depends what you need to do with the donkey dick.
Yo, give me the donkey dick. Stand by the bag of dicks near the cat hole.
You got
it. Like you're in the military.
Like you're in the military over here. Sounds just like it.
What does it mean to stay frosty? Is it A, stay down, B, stay awake, or C, stay calm?
Stay calm.
Yeah, stay calm. I've seen aliens.
Stay calm.
Type people.
I was hoping for a Wendy's answer, but yeah, stay calm.
Check those corners.
Check those corners.
Stay frosty.
Check those corners.
Yep, stay calm. Stay cool and collected. Who or what is a soldier's wife in combat? Is it A, his commanding officer? B, his rifle? Or C, his unit?
Better than bag of
dicks.
Is this
another contextual question? Or
his rifle.
Yeah, I would say something he, like, depends on or something like that, right? Like a rifle.
Yep, agreed.
I'll go commanding officer.
It is his rifle. Last one. Which of these items do you need if you're going to the mess hall? Is it A, your diggers, B, a brain sponge, or C, Biff Chit?
Matthew Blackheart, brain sponge.
Biff Chit.
Oh, a brain sponge.
Right in the brain sponge.
I feel like brain sponge is just your brain matter.
A brain to my damage.
Do you put the brain sponge in the brain pan?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's nestled nicely in that brain pan. I'll say diggers. I feel like that's a utensils reference.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to Chris with this one. That sounds good.
I'll go out on a limb. Brain sponge.
It is diggers. Forks and spoons that kind of all go together. Looks like it is a tie between Todd and Chris.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a bag of donkey dicks.
Okay. You think it's because the military's been around so long and, like, that these, like, terms just stay? You know what I mean? Because I feel like slang changes throughout normal culture.
Well, I think
like,
some of the terms are new, too.
Yeah, I don't think donkey dicks was used in, like, the 30s.
You might be surprised. I bet it was. Some of these sound old. Like, that sounds old to me. Bag of dicks, donkey dicks. Now it would be, like, whatever the kids say. I don't know what the fuck kids say. like my turtle shell's popping out of the woodwork or something. I don't know what they.
I got a cricket in my ass or whatever cricket you said last week.
This asshole's lit. Remember, hit us up on Twitter. I checked that hashtag. It's not trending yet.
All right, cool. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yep.
All right, Todd, would you recommend Matthew Beefheart Monster Smasher?
Didn't necessarily love the way that it was presented the entire way throughout, and I did fall asleep. However, the parts of the movie I saw were entertaining, and again, I loved the costumes and the effects. I thought that stuff was really fun, so I would recommend it. And
that is a ringing endorsement.
And it's not a long watch. It's like 90 minutes or whatever.
Well, it's not a long watch if you sleep through 45 minutes.
You wouldn't believe how fast this movie flies by.
Can you rate your sleep like out of 1 to 10? How good of a sleep were you getting?
I was really tired when I fell asleep, so
that was a good sleep.
11 of 10.
Wow, damn. Aaron, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would. It was fun.
Scott?
Absolutely.
Rebecca?
See, you used up all your one-liners. You couldn't put a one-liner there on that ringing endorsement.
Chris boasted of having a giant list, and I haven't heard any.
I crossed them out.
Chris boasts a lot about his giant list. It's all right.
he's no messenger. He's your death sentence.
Yeah, I actually did go through all mine.
Yeah, that was my last one.
Okay. Rebecca?
Yeah, I'll recommend it. It lost my interest partway through, so maybe have something to do. But
sleep?
Yeah, that's not sleeping.
Okay.
Because my problem was I stopped crocheting while watching it, and then I just, things went downhill from there. So you gotta keep yourself occupied so you can get through it. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. I thought it was fun. It's a ridiculous movie. And it looks pretty good. Like, there's cool effects and stuff. I like the main character. He's cheesy. Everything's cheesy, but I had a good time watching this. And honestly, it'd be pretty cool as a TV show.
I'd watch it, yeah.
Yeah. It's a way cheesier version of like Ash vs. Evil Dead. Less gory too. There's not really much gore in this.
No,
it was the time.
Yeah. And this would have been something that would have been on like Sci-Fi Channel
That's
or something.
True.
Not
That's true.
Didn't have the flexibility you have with Showtime and HBO and all those other.
Yeah, I was curious about that because at times it felt like there was going to be naked people, but then it just stopped right before
the waitress.
That.
Yeah,
they definitely set it up for that.
The waitress, the club they went to. Yeah, and I was like,
the goth club where they sang "Are You Happier and You Know It."
Well, yeah, but I felt like it could have gone to like more adult territory that it just chose not to.
Sure.
All right, so that's going to do it for Matthew Blackheart, Monster Smasher. Next week, we're diving into a good old-fashioned Thanksgiving movie, and we're going to watch the 1987 horror movie Blood Rage. So let's go check out that trailer.
Louis Lasser, Martin Sofer, Julie Gordon, Marianne Cantor, special effects by Ed French. Blood Rage.
Yeah, we just watched everything that's going to be good in that movie.
I don't know. That stuff looked pretty good, guys.
Yeah, but we just saw all of it.
Well, you'll forget.
I'll fall asleep.
You'll forget. You'll fall. You already fell asleep during that trailer. So, Blood Rage is technically a Thanksgiving movie because it's about a guy who goes on a murder spree on Thanksgiving. I've heard of this movie before. I've seen the cover artwork. I never watched the trailer or anything, and this looks fucking great. This looks like your standard 80s slasher movie.
I think the effects and the gore look pretty good.
I was a little thrown off by the trailer, though, because it's like a modern re-edited trailer with some gothic lady. I think they're trying to sell a Blu-ray, but it's got this weird metal music underneath that totally doesn't fit at all.
Yeah, I think that's added because there's...
Yeah, definitely. Good gore? Bad acting?
Lots of cheese.
Yeah. Looks like a standard slasher, yeah.
There's some dudes in some shorty shorts.
There's some face surgery with a hatchet.
Some PBR. There's bloody hands. Everything I think of when I think of Thanksgiving.
Sounds like you've spent a lot of time in the ER on Thanksgiving.
So I'm excited for Blood Rage. Join us next week when we watch Blood Rage.
Well put.
What are we watching next week?
A little movie called Blood Rage. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us for Matthew Blackheart, Monster Smasher. If you like what you heard, go to the iTunes.com. Leave us a review. Helps out the show. Find us at Bad Movie Night Podcast. Catch all our older episodes of our podcast and our video show. Lots of videos popping out left and right all over the place up in here. Check new videos every week. Subscribe to our YouTube. Share our crap, all that stuff. Let us know if there's anything we should be watching. And we'd love to hear from you. So until then,
keep smashing those monsters.
And smash that subscribe button.
God bless America.
All right. Monster Smasher. I'm the Monster Smasher.
Damn it, you beat me to it.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast.